morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Well, that's not entirely true. I'm not Dean Weitzman, nor do I play but on TV or radio. My name is Manuel, and I am a member of the firm. We are the erstwhile members of the Dean Weitzman clan when Dean is here or not here, and in this case, he's running behind. So, with that in mind, we're going to start the show and wait for Dean to enter, but until that happens, the firm is in full effect. There she is, the beautiful, the brilliant, the stunning, the capable, Sarah.
Yes.
Oh. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
What if I had said tactic before?
We said she.
Okay.
So I, you know, you're right. I don't want to be presumptuous, but.
But right. I did say she. That was the pronoun.
Yes. And, so
you did it right. So
just kind of thought.
Correctly. That being said, in front of us, the man that keeps the thing together, keeps us intact, keeps us together. And at times when we need legal advice, my God, a thesaurus, a plethora of legal information. From where it comes, we do not know. His name is DJ Tactic.
But, I've been here for a while, so.
For a minute. Yeah. How long has it been, really? 14?
About seven, maybe.
You could have passed the bar by now.
Yeah, sure. Seven. You might as well have taken it.
Yeah.
You might have done very, very well.
I wonder, does Pennsylvania have the baby bar? Like, Virginia has it, where you don't have to go to law school, like the traditional route you could take.
Aren't they called, like, paralegals?
That's what Kim Kardashian did, the baby bar. And so you could take the bar, but I think that's why they call it the baby bar. Like, you get to cut some corners.
No, that sounds so much like T-ball. My God.
But I feel like Tactics would nail it. I feel like we should find this out, and I think we should put a little GoFundMe together and get Tactics
and
to go
what?
Do the baby bar.
Yeah.
So he could be a full-fledged attorney.
And then I can be a baby judge in the future.
I don't know
a baby
that.
Judge.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, you don't have to actually rise. It's the baby judge.
It's the baby judge.
Just like raise your hand. Like, what's up?
Baby Judge Jackson. Ooh, that sounds like something that needs to be written. But anyway, that being said, it was a big week legally. This is a legal show. We do have a guest in studio as we wait for Dean. I'll introduce him in a moment. But guys, we can't escape the elephant in the room. This is huge. This is, when I was a boy, Watergate, huge. A former president of the United States has officially been indicted by the United States. It's the people of the United States of America versus Donald Trump. This is huge.
Wow, this is
big.
This isn't Watergate. This is break the dam.
This is it. This is tsunami. This has never been done. This is all new waters. No one knows really what's going to happen, what to do. I can tell you, having lived through Watergate and one of those nerdy kids that actually sat through it because my parents made me, he really has been kind of following that Nixon playbook. And what Nixon got and what Ford did was, the timing was, we don't think America is ready for a president to do a crip walk. You know, it's not ready. We can't see a president behind bars. We can't see a president in handcuffs. America wasn't ready for that in 71 and 72.
You mean 70. A perp walk?
A perp walk.
That's what I thought. I really
I'm sorry, guys. You gotta correct me. You got to correct me.
Like,
there's a lot going on in this head, but we're not ready to see a perp walk.
I am.
Then, like, but now in 2023, I think America and the world needs to see that happen, because democracy, this thing called democracy that the entire world is hoping still works, that we do here, because it doesn't work anywhere else. When folks are running here, good or bad, they have to see, oh, yeah, no one really is above the law. They don't have a king. They don't have a monarchy. This is democracy. There's a president. And, yeah, you can only do but so much. And when I think about the fact that he's got this, he's also got Georgia. He's also got the New York DA case. He's also got the woman. Well, I forgot her name.
I forgot it. I know you're talking about.
All right, but all this stuff is coming up in the midst of a campaign, which, if you're paying attention, if you're smart, and if you've seen the three-card Monty pawn game on the street, you understand this is all a big con and grift to keep this guy out of prison.
You mean you got that figured out?
A lot of folks got that figured out.
Right, but a lot of folks don't have it figured out.
Those are the folks still sending the billionaire their money?
Well, I mean, he spent over $40 million in legal fees, and that's counting due to donations. So how many of those people that are donating don't know what you're talking about?
Oh, it's a lot of them, because you're not donating to his campaign. You're donating to his legal fund.
Yes. So, I mean, he's continually getting the money. His polling is off the roof.
For that side.
The latest polls show that if Biden and 46 and 45 would come in and vote, they'd be tied.
Excuse me, folks.
They'd be tied.
There's a term for that. I think it's a Jewish term. It's for Klimt for a moment. A sighting has been made. He has sat in his chair. He has seen the black and white rundown of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning.
Did you catch the conversation as you were coming in?
Did I catch the conversation?
Tad bit about the Trump indictment.
No, I did not.
An unprecedented event. President Trump possibly, you know, then he was talking about, even though this is all going on, they're polling at, what, 43% a piece.
Yeah.
A guy that's been indicted four times, impeached twice.
I've spoken to some of those people.
What? Okay, please. Fill us in.
We
know. We think we know what it is that we... Go ahead.
Yeah. It's hard for normal people to understand how they think. But they believe... Number one, that everything they see or hear that's anti-Trump is a lie.
Oh, Lord.
They believe that what he's accomplished, and I use the air quotes on that, far outweighs any negative press that he gets.
What did he accomplish?
They will say that he made our country safer. They will say that...
As far as the border.
Yeah.
Keep going.
They will say that the economy was better. Now, none of this makes sense because we're
at 3.8% now.
We built trillions of dollars of debt under the Trump administration.
They don't think about that?
Mm-mm.
How about the folks that died during COVID?
They
don't think about that?
None of that. And it would have been far worse had the liberals, and they abhor the liberals. That's, you know, it's not even about Trump. It's about, let's not let the liberals get their way anymore.
And remember, the big thing is the weaponizing of our justice system.
Wait a minute, wait. You mean the justice system that got rid of Comey and replaced him?
Well, now
Right.
Now it's under a new administration.
The justice system that got rid of, who was the attorney general that they got rid of and put another one in? That justice system?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you're making sense.
Oh, I'm making sense. Yeah.
Just like the Talking Heads tour, Stop Making Sense.
Dean, it's all a grift. It's all a con.
Yeah,
he knows
is.
He's getting indicted, so he mentions it early, and folks send their money.
And
he lives lavishly in Maryland.
Yesterday, I was in a supermarket, and in the supermarket was an elderly man, probably in his mid-70s. And, you know, he was wearing a shirt that said, don't blame me, I voted for Trump. Now, this man doesn't have, you know, he did not appear to be a man of wealth or means or education. All right. Maybe I'm making a, you know, I'm creating an image here. Mm-hmm. This is a man, Trump, who declared four bankruptcies and beat the small businessman who, you know, were sticking shades up on in his casinos.
He didn't pay people.
He did not pay people, and little families went under because of him.
They don't know these stories?
I don't understand how they balance that.
How about the Central Park? They don't care about the Central Park Five. They don't even care about that.
Now, well, how about the birther allegations?
Oh, the birth certificate. Yeah.
They didn't like... 44 anyway.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, Obama there are two things. P.T. Barnum once said there's a sucker born every minute.
And
I guess
that's half the country.
And they're proof. And then the other
44%
thing.
44% for sure.
Now you know where the origin of the traveling salesman and the farmer's daughter stories come from. People like this. To be conned this badly. This grift has gone on
now for six years. So let's conclude that 44% refuse.
They just won't do it.
Despite any evidence to the contrary, they refuse to change their position.
How come character doesn't matter anymore?
Again, we are dealt the hand we have. 44% will not change their mind no matter what.
Period.
Period. Hard stop.
That's like,
so what do you do? What do you do? You organize and you defeat repeatedly election after election after election, because there are 56% of America who are decent, normal human beings.
Let's hope.
And 56% of Americans have to go to the poll.
And remember, he's lost every race since 2016.
Hasn't won a thing. Anyone he supported has lost.
Yes.
But they'll tell you, but we got three Supreme Court justices, and look what we just did.
True. We're going to be stuck with a Looney Tunes Supreme Court for quite some time, and one who doesn't have any problem with ethics violations up and down the line.
And he's already threatened that all of these cases he's going to try to get to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, he won't get Georgia to the Supreme Court.
Because that's a state.
Yeah, it's a state court action. Yeah.
Well, Dean, we can go on and on.
Yes, we can.
We have a guest in studio this morning.
We're still a year away from an election. So, let's pace ourselves, because it's going to be tiring. Folks, I'm here. We're in the studio. If you've got a call, if you've got a legal issue, you need to make the call now. 215-227-2727. You want to jump in on our conversation? Feel free. If you've got that legal question you've been pondering all week, I always get calls from people, and a lot of the calls deal with property damage. Let me just say this. If your car got crashed into while you were sleeping and you run outside and it's destroyed, you don't need a personal injury attorney, because, the key word there is injury. Injury. Your car injury doesn't count. And so you're going to have to figure out how to bring that claim in small claims court or municipal court or the district justice in your neighborhood, and seek justice on your own, because otherwise an attorney in America, attorneys get paid whether you win or lose by the party that hires them. And if you've got $5,000 in property damage and your attorney charges you $3,000 to take the action and bring it to court, you're in no better shape than you were before the attorney got involved. So the type of case where I encourage my listeners to bring the action in municipal court. And we can give you a lesson on that at another time. But if you have one of those cases, you're probably going to be out on your own to represent yourself. 215-227-2727. We have a guest in the studio.
Yes, we do.
Kashif Jones. Did I pronounce Kashif correctly?
Yes. Kashif, yes.
Kashif Jones. Welcome to Court Radio.
Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Kashif is the founder of the anti-violence nonprofit group called Relentless Community Development. And we're going to learn about his organization today. We're taking your calls again, 215-227-2727. Kashif, tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up? What part of the city are you from?
I'm from Feltonville, Alamy area.
Feltonville. Played soccer at the Feltonville Rec. Yeah. I was really bad.
At soccer?
Yes. Really? I was a chubby, short kid. And
did you like soccer?
Not really. Not no. Not okay. really. It wasn't my thing.
Guess what? If he wasn't messy. He was messy.
Yeah. With a Y. That's
With
correct.
With a Y.
But you know, it brought me down to Feltonville, so that's what Kashif and I have in common. Did you ever play in the Feltonville Rec?
Yeah, I felt that every sport there.
Yeah. Every sport. Right.
Me and you both. All right. I was always the kid who they had to take because that was the last one left.
First and last basketball game, I ran the wrong way with the ball.
Cheap. No, this way.
Well, does that have something to do with how, you know, did that begin your problems maybe?
Yeah.
You weren't fitting in. You weren't, you know.
Not too much of not fitting in.
Yeah.
It was more like, you know, the living.
The living.
Struggle. It was a struggle being in a single parent home.
Yeah.
And what years are we talking about?
I'm born in 86. So
okay, so
the
late,
90s.
Yeah,
2000s.
90. Okay.
Yeah. By 86, I was already in law school.
Mm.
Yeah. So the struggle as a young parent. So being a young parent's not a good thing then.
You had brothers and sisters?
Yeah, plus with siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your mom and your mom only.
Yeah.
For the most part. So it start probably not, I wouldn't say not fitting in, but, you know, you might come to school dressed, your clothes not up to par as everybody else's.
So you want to get some money?
For me, that's where it always started.
Yeah, money. I need money. I got to pull myself up out of this morass I'm in, and nobody else is doing it for me, so I got to get money.
Where were you in the pecking order? Oldest, youngest, middle?
I was the oldest boy.
Okay.
So I have a sister that's older than me.
All right.
And I have other siblings by my father. But in that household, it was me, my older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother.
And eventually, it brought you into the criminal justice system. How so, and how did that career develop?
So I started getting in trouble probably 12. Got arrested for the first time over trying to get some money.
And then, how did that feel, getting arrested at 12? Because I think if I had gotten arrested at 12, I feel like I would feel a real gigantic sense of shame and embarrassment to my mom, to my family. I would feel like I had, you know, I had seriously messed up. Where's the mindset of a 12-year-old in Kashif's head at that time?
Yeah.
It was just a little bit of when you feel like you need something,
mm-hmm.
It really don't matter the consequences. It was a necessity. Like, a lot of people never opened their refrigerator at home, and the only thing was in there was like an onion and a half a jar of mayonnaise.
Right,
so
right.
You really don't have no option.
Optionless.
At least in
your mind.
In your mind.
In your mind is the key at that time. Where did it eventually lead you?
So it started out, you know, probably stealing from stores. Selling the stuff, then it went to drugs, selling drugs. And that's where it really stopped at. I was a drug dealer in those days.
But ultimately, you were convicted of manslaughter.
Yes.
What was up with that? What happened?
Well, 2009, I walked to a grocery store, came out, and was approached by some men, probably 5 or 6, and they was trying to rob me. I ended up telling them, like, the cops coming, and turned it around. I ended up shooting and killing one person and shooting and injuring another.
You had a gun?
Yes.
Where'd that come from?
The streets.
How hard was it to get?
It's never hard to find a gun.
Not in the 90s, not in 2000, no time.
Yeah, really.
And you're about, now you're how old now?
I'm 37 years old.
No, then, when that happened.
When that happened, I was 22.
So he's 22. He was first incarcerated at 12.
Right. So he's got a 10-year crime history.
Right. So this becomes a way of life. And I guess at some point in your mind, you're like, you know, eventually something's going to pop. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you're going out day to day, getting your grind on, doing whatever you got to do. And the issues don't stop. Life don't stop. You're going to grind. You're making money the way you're making money. Life issues aren't stopping. There's got to be, and this never comes up, you know, there's a lot of trauma going on in your life, man. And it's never addressed. And it's stressful nights, sleepless nights, solving problems every day. It's a buildup inside of you. How are you dealing with all of that?
You know, growing up in the hood, you got to be strong. There's no room to be, you know, with no, like, you got to. You just had to be strong. Right.
And that's every day. As soon as you wake up till you go to sleep, you all day, every day, this is life.
This is life.
Man, that's not a good way to live.
No, it's not. But and there's, like, how?
Had no choice.
Well, how do you know? There is a choice. He feels like he has no choice.
Right.
But that's where I start. That's what got me here today.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing the ignorance is the ignorance of not knowing how to do it the right way. And that's where we come with Relentless. That's where Relentless derived from, because I figured it out.
How did you figure it out? And how are you different? Because there are many men who spent 10 years in prison on your manslaughter charge. Is that correct?
11.
Okay.
Years, 3 months.
All right. Let's
okay.
not.
Okay.
11 years, 3 months in prison. A lot of people come out.
Right.
And they took a pause for 11 years, 3 months, and they get right back on the merry-go-round. What makes you different? What happened in those 11 years, 3 months?
Well, see, I was found guilty of manslaughter, but I was facing life.
Mm.
So once I was found not guilty of life, murder, first degree, and third degree murder, I knew I was coming home. So it was like, you know, this time gonna go by. There's no need to even dwell on being in prison. Let's worry about getting home. Worry about what you're gonna do when you get home. So I just planned and stuck to that.
While you were still incarcerated?
While I was in prison, yes.
Okay.
But your mindset changed, right? I mean, you were no longer willing to do the things you did that got you there in the first place. Why? How did that change?
Coming home, well, first, just knowing that it's somebody that had the power to send you to prison for life.
Yeah.
They can go ahead and say, I sent you to life in prison, then go drink coffee afterwards. So that right there alone an average person should understand that, you know, it got to be something better to do.
You ain't going through that again.
No.
I don't like, right.
At all.
So it was getting that close to spending every day of the rest of your life in prison, but having the opportunity to change that outcome that changed you from the criminal pre-1980.
It sounds like the moment for you happened while you were incarcerated.
Yes.
When you said to yourself, okay, never again. And that was when your case, you didn't get life. You found out why you were incarcerated. You didn't get life. Your trial went the way it needed to go. You said, when I get out of here, boom, boom, boom. That's basically what happened?
Yes, for the most part, yes.
But okay. You need tools to do that, you know, which brings us to Relentless Community Development. What is it? And what's its purpose in life?
You said you started planning.
So Relentless Community Development is an organization that's founded by me. So I got tired of seeing what was going on, like all the shootings and killings that's going on in the city. And, you know, a person like me that been through it, I feel like if I give them the little bit of knowledge I have, as a diversion tactic, the really, you know, whatever you got going on now that's negative, you can use that for positive to continue to do what you're trying to do. So for me, seeing what's going on, I said, it's something that I could teach these kids. I fit in more, let me start this organization so I could try to reach the kids from going out there doing the same things I did.
Right. Did you
begin this in jail?
I mean, yeah, I came up with the idea in prison.
Okay. And how do you roll it out? Like, how does the service you offer get presented, and to whom does it get presented?
Mostly social media. So if you follow us on Relentless_CDORG, you'll see a lot of things we've done. For the most part, we do a lot of giveaways. Like for the end of the summer, we did a day of fun with no gun. We gave out 300 pairs of sneakers, had a carnival, flamethrowers, clowns, dancers, all in the ring. It rained on there and we didn't stop. I appreciate Jazzy the Clown because she just stuck it out. We do what I call side hustle workshops. So I might, my father's a DJ. He'll come in, teach the kids how to DJ. That way they have a way to make money on the side. A friend of mine's, Devetta, she do knotless braids. She teach the girls how to do that. Another way to make money in a positive way. So we do mostly things like that. And the ultimate goal is to create a creative content center. Like, a lot of kids is uses social media for negative ways. So I feel like if I had a space with all the equipment that's needed to create content, and the kids can just come for free, create content in a professional way, and then leave, that'll work.
Because you tell them.
You're playing the content.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Quick question. What is the average age of the kids that you're mentoring?
So as for me personally, the kids that I talk to, they more preteens and up.
Okay.
And how do they get in touch? How do they find out about you? I mean, how are you marketing your
So we do most
organization.
We do most of the marketing on social media.
I'm looking at some of it now.
And so I started a clothing. Well, let me step back. So the organization is founded by me. I partner with the judge that sent me to prison.
Okay.
Whoa, how did that happen?
Yeah.
So when I first started the organization.
Who was that judge?
Benjamin Lerner.
Judge Lerner. I know that name.
Yeah. He used to be the chief of the defenders unit in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I
then took the bench.
So he was my sentencing trial judge. He the one who found me guilty of manslaughter, sent me to prison for 8 to 16 years. I ended up doing 11 years on the 8 to 16. Well, when I got home, like I said, I got tired of what was going on. I started the organization. I was reaching out to any and everybody. Seems like nobody wanted to help. So I said, who could I reach out to that got connections? Well, I remember the judge is always saying, like, if you do the right thing when you come home, just reach out. And I'll help you, whatever.
You so actually did it.
I called this bluff.
Oh, wow. Was he surprised?
I think he was. Yeah, he was.
And but he was a man of his word.
He was a man of his word. He'd been there ever since. You know, in a time where, you know, I've reached out to everybody. But it take the person that sent me to prison to say, look, if you feel like I did you bad there, I'm going to help you this way.
That's a great story, man.
And as far as, like, you know, I did that to show we want all this violence to stop. A lot of kids is, you know, how could you want it to stop if we not uniting?
Mm.
You expect them to stop shooting each other, and you want them to unite. So us as leaders, we have to show the same thing. So who's one of the best people for me to unite with that I felt, you know, or a lot of people felt was done wrong? The judge that sent me to prison, I went through the worst time of my life there.
You know what folks want to know, and as a person that's been an activist at a certain time and has passed it on to the next generation to do it, they want to know, you were 12, you were incarcerated for the first time, but everyone says the same thing about this particular generation. I don't understand this generation. They're different. This is something about them. I don't get it. What is on the mindset? If you had to describe it to people who don't know, what's going on in the minds of these 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds in these shootings and everything? How would you describe it?
Well, wait. I'm going to have him answer that, but we got to take a quick two-minute break. So Kashif Jones is here, who's founded the anti-violence nonprofit group Relentless Community Development. He spent 11 years, 3 months in jail, and he's here to share his story. We'll be back in 2 minutes. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, of course we are. Welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio every Saturday morning from 9 to 10, right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
Hey, hey.
There you go. I want to give you the opportunity to plug Classics.
Okay.
Because you're a classic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you are, but what are you? What is that? What
is exactly. That? You know, I feel like I'm the baby of the bunch most of the time.
Yeah. Baby judge. Yeah, here we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I'm baby judge.
Baby judge.
I'm baby boss.
Because Sarah was talking about they have a baby bar.
A baby bar? A baby bar?
Said somewhere.
Said the producer's hood. So like Kim Kardashian.
Passed the baby
bar. Baby bar.
The baby bar.
Which I said is like the T-ball league of law school.
I don't know what a baby bar is.
Thank you. Sounds like a candy bar. Mm. Baby Roof, maybe, but no. I don't know what a baby bar is.
I'm going to have to look into that. But anyway, we have Kashif Jones here. Kashif founded a nonprofit organization called Relentless Community Development. We're learning about that. But before we get back to Kashif, let's get some of our callers' questions answered. How about Elise on line 2? Oh, Elise, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Elise.
Elise. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, here we go.
We're doing well, thank you. What's your question?
I'm enjoying this show. Yes. I'd like to...
You got to turn your radio off.
I know. I'm not supposed to. I haven't called into the station for so long. I know I'm not supposed to listen. But my question is, how would one... Say, for instance, I want to... give a property, a home to a child, and I want to do it without everybody paying taxes that are ridiculous? You know, the easy way, I guess that's my question.
Well, okay, you can gift the property to your child. And to do that, you have the deed prepared where you exchange the property from yourself, assuming you're the sole owner, to your, let's say, your daughter.
Is that a sole question?
Yeah, that is a, well, it's a sole task. Give the office a call, Lisa, the number you called for the court radio show today. And
can she add the child to the lease? I mean, not lease, to the deed?
So she can add it, so that she can add her daughter, so that when you pass, it becomes hers, or you can just give it to her outright now.
Yeah, gifted.
Either way. But you want to make sure that you have your the deed document prepared properly so that there are no problems down the line. And for that, give Saul a call at the office at 215-227-2727, and he'll be happy to...
After this show is over.
Yeah, he'll be happy to assist you in that, Elise.
Okay, so that's the route I have to take, talk to a lawyer and then documents and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay, I needed to know how it was done.
He's
yeah.
going to prepare...
I appreciate that.
He'll prepare a document for you, Elise.
He's the best.
It's called a deed. All right?
Indeed.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, dear.
And tell that young man he's doing a great job because I really want to know why people are killing each other.
He hears
for
you.
No reason.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Right.
We're going to.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Elise. All right, one more. Let's talk to Mike on line 4. Don't we know where they are?
Hello.
Yo,
good morning. How are you doing?
Michael, where are you from?
I'm in West Philadelphia right now, but I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn,
hey,
New
Brooklyn
York.
In the house.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
You got a question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And how are you doing?
What is your question, Michael?
All right. I got a question and a comment about the Trump thing. I'll start with the question first, if you don't mind, real fast. I wound up going to an auction, and they gave me 48 hours to actually finish something off. But the actual window of 48 hours that they gave me was 10 to 1, so it didn't even add to 40 hours. It was actually open for like 3 hours. Is that actually legal, or am I bounded to those 3 hours to be able to do, pay the 48 hours?
Okay, so that would depend on the actual language of the document you signed. I would have to read that document. But typically speaking, if somebody says you have 48 hours to... do X, Y, or Z, the 48 hours is not 48 continuous, you know, 48 working hours. So you don't turn 48 hours. Let's say the business is open 8 hours a day. You don't turn 48 hours into 6 days. Okay. It's you got 48 hours from the time you sign this document. But we're only open 8 hours, or in your case, we're only open 3 hours. You got to do it within the time that you have. Now, you could, within 48 hours, sign the document, transfer the money. Whether they're open or closed, there may be a method to do that. And in which case, you'd have 48 hours. But the mechanics of that, if they have to be open, if there is no way for you to send money or sign documents other than that 3-hour window, then I would say you're probably out of luck if you went beyond the time that they were open. But again, with the caveat that the document controls your relationship. And this is the important part of this instruction for you and for all my other listeners. Read the document carefully. That document is the only controlling document as between you and the other party. It's a contract. And if the contract is ambiguous, Michael, it is decided against the party who drafted it. Not you, them. So if there is some ambiguity in that contract, it's decided in your favor. And if you believe that it is ambiguous, then you take them to court and you show the court the document and you make your argument that you had 48 hours, which would have been, I don't know, about a month worth of days if they're only open 3 hours a day. And the court will decide that. But again, it's the document that controls completely your relationship. Any ambiguity decided against the drafter of the document, which is in your favor. Michael, I think I've answered that question the best I can without actually reading the document. What's your comment? What's your comment on Trump?
Yeah, I was listening to what you were saying. Like I said, I'm 52, so I was back to understand what you were saying about when people didn't see the real things that was happening, like when his father stopped him and then gave him, he had to earn his own money and stuff like that and things like that. So I kind of understand the format that he stands on and the picture that he sets forth that they stand behind. Because he's showing forth, okay, where old money now is letting new money live. And we need, like you say, it's funny how you say the cards that's dealt. We need to understand the cards that's being dealt in this world to understand how we can play our hand better.
Yeah, well, that's sort of like my contract argument. You know, you got to know what the hand you were dealt. You got to know what the document says.
Really?
Michael, thank you for calling Court Radio. Have a great Saturday, and welcome to Philadelphia.
Brooklyn.
215-227-2727. You got a legal issue? I probably have the answer.
Probably.
Well,
most likely.
Yeah, most likely. Kashif.
We had a question raised prior to the break.
What was the question, Manny?
What is on the minds of this generation of 12, 13, 14-year-olds who are now, we are hearing, so often involved in violent crime and shootings and murders? What would you say having, and right now dealing with them right now, what would you say? How would you answer that?
Like a lot of the kids that I talk to, they say that there's nobody older. School, it's not a lot of people my age that been through what they've been through that's out there trying to show them a better way. So they lost, and the person they got to look up to is only 3 years, maybe 4 years older than them. So a 13-year-old is following after a 16-year-old that don't have no guidance,
no support system,
no guidance. None of the people, you know, that come from where I come from, my age bracket, a lot of us not doing what we supposed to, you know, being old heads, going to them, talking to them, stop being scared of them, you know, letting them
that's
know.
A thing, though. Folks,
what's a thing?
Well, they're afraid to approach. How do you broach the subject? How do you approach these young kids? I got cats now that are afraid of these teenagers, man.
Or even a better question, it's like, you know, at the age in which they're about to choose the streets, you're intersecting before they get to the streets. How do you make that approach, you know, before, you know, while they're in that transition of
about middle school age is when it's happening.
No, but I mean, you know,
how do you broach the subject? How do you socialize, interact with them? How do you get them to a place where you can have a conversation?
They're already enticed by the money.
Let's start with how do we stop children from having children? Because the real problem the real problem here is that they're growing up without having moms and dads who have an education, who have a job, and they're feeling like they have to go out on the streets to earn money because there's an onion and mayonnaise in the refrigerator. Okay, so like we got to start before that. You know, I think we got to put like, you know,
I think what he said is
no
true.
Set way. There's no set way to approach it. See, that was for me. For me, it was only an onion and half a jar of mayonnaise. But some of these kids have both parents in the house. They living good. They just want, there's nobody that's guiding them.
They're not living good then, because if they were living good, they'd have a parent. They'd have parents that were taking them to after school programs.
When I said good, I meant like financially.
Okay, so they have the financial wherewithal, but they don't have the guidance.
So that's where it all starts. The guidance. Nobody really educated. Like for me, if I knew that it was a way to make $5,000 legally with two phone calls, back when I was selling drugs, you think I would have sold drugs?
I don't know. No.
Probably not.
At all.
I wouldn't.
How would you have made $5,000 legally with two phone calls?
So I have a car lot with a garage. One young lady bring her car to the garage, transmission going. She have a warranty. Warranty going to give me $6,300 to fix that transmission. I make two calls. Junkyard for one transmission, $700. The next call, $300 for somebody to put it in. I didn't touch that car, but right. I made $5,300.
You were the middleman, and you middled that into a $5,300 profit. And that was smart.
But that's the same thing you do in the drug game. You middleman it.
Right.
It's just a different commodity.
It's a legal commodity.
A legal commodity.
And then back to the, like I was telling you, that's why I partner with the judge, because I feel like us, we visual. We got to see it first. If we don't see it, we really don't believe it. The only thing people believe that they don't see is air. So I partner with the judge, not only for his resources, but it make people see that we're not playing and we want some type of change. Come to find out, he from Feltonville, too.
Oh.
Stop.
Wow, we all started in Feltonville.
Feltonville.
And he grew up at, we went to the same schools, played at the same playground. Just a 40.
What school did you go to?
I went to Central East, Barton. I went to a lot of schools.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to a lot of schools. But yeah, so.
So you started in the same place, but he ended up much different.
But that's why I said that was my story, because mind you, I have siblings.
They didn't all follow you.
Yeah. So that was my one. That was the way I figured. That's why I say it's no right way to approach it.
Are any of your siblings involved in your nonprofit?
Yeah, everybody helps.
Okay.
So
it's a family affair.
Yeah. We just started, so we knew going on a year.
Only on 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a caller from West Philly, line 2, Carol. Hey, Carol, welcome to Court Radio. Thanks for being a part of the show.
Yes, good morning. I would like to say good morning to all you gentlemen. And Kashif, I am so proud of you. How do I donate and how do I volunteer to help you? And so I just want to always want to help but don't know how. So please tell me how do I volunteer.
Yeah.
He needs a moment.
Yeah, she wants to know how can she help? How can she get in touch with you? Kashif?
Website.
You can just call me. 215-520-1100.
Say it again.
215-520-1100.
Okay, great.
How'd you get that number?
It was meant to happen.
No, because I got 215-520-7300.
Wow.
Ooh. It's a whole lot of Feltonville going in.
That's what's going on, Feltonville.
Carol, you know, I hear the emotion in your voice, and you brought out emotion in Kashif's voice. And that's a positive thing for a Saturday morning in Philly.
Yes.
And so I want to thank you for calling in, and you got Kashif's number now.
Okay, great. Listen, excuse me for that, but I'm a former police officer and a former correction officer, so I know what he's been through. I've seen it.
Yep.
So thank you. I'll give you a call.
All right.
Thank you, Carol.
Wow. Sorry,
everybody's tearing up. Listen, you know, there's so much bad crap out there all the time that we're inundated with in the news, that it's nice to hear a positive vibe and people respond. So I'm hopeful that, you know, the organization is going to get a shot in the arm.
You know, and I hope the city gets behind him, too.
They're listening.
Yeah.
I hope the city gets behind him, you know, with funding.
So what we do, it's kind of hard for me to get funded from the city because I work in city council. So
what don't you do? What do you mean?
Wait, back up, huh? Hold the bricks.
I work in city council.
In council for a council person?
I'm a clothing manufacturer.
No, as of right now, I no longer work in city council. Like, I was working in city council for the last few months. So June 20th, I stopped. but it was a great experience. Uh-huh. You know, being down there helping people. Yeah, I worked in city council for Councilwoman Sharon Vaughn.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I definitely appreciate her for giving me that shot. Because, you know, people coming from where I come from, me just being able to go to City Hall every day was, like, great.
Yeah.
So what we do for Relentless, like, the help funding, we started a clothing line, which is called Modern Language. So a portion of the proceeds for all the outfits we have, short sets, sweatsuits, dresses, kids and adults, you can go on modern_language Philly. And, you know, whenever you purchase something, it benefits the organization. So that's how we are able to, you know, do sneaker giveaways and, you know, coat drives and do these classes, these workshops. And like I said, we looking forward to raise enough money to start the Creative Content Center. And I feel like somebody like YouTube, like if you YouTube listening, reach out, because I feel like we can work together great with that.
I tell you, he's brought some swag in studio, everybody, and it's really nice. These outfits are nice. The material
is
great.
Good material.
Really nice.
Listen, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Kashif Jones in 2 minutes. Have at it for the sponsors. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
When we say winning matters most, we mean it. My Philly Lawyer just helped secure an $80 million victory for a client suffering from a defective medical product. Whether it's a motor vehicle, workplace, or medical malpractice injury, My Philly Lawyer gets results.
If you've been injured and want aggressive, thoughtful, thorough representation, call My Philly Lawyer first.
Philly's legal champions. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes. Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host of Court Radio, every Saturday morning right here at 100.3 WRMB.
And Classics 107.9.
There you go. That's our dance.
That who we be.
We joined in the studio with Kashif Jones. Kashif spent some time in prison, about 11 years worth of time, and it dawned on him that there may be a better way to approach life. He got out, and from everything I see, turned his life 180 degrees around.
Man, listen.
Paying his life experience forward.
He is involved in many business pursuits.
Pretty enterprising gentleman.
He is. He's designed a clothing line, which has helped fund his nonprofit. He's been, I understand, working at city council for a period of time. And is into car repairs.
He's into car something.
Car sales? Car repairs?
Flipping.
Yeah. You're a flipper?
Yeah.
Something like that. What he is a very enterprising young man who used the skills that he rose to, I don't even say criminal fame, but he used those criminal skills for more legal pursuits and figured it out, so to speak. In his own words,
street smarts.
He figured it out. The street smarts, he figured it out. And he applied it legally, and he's flourishing. He's growing.
Not everybody does.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make sure less people follow the old Kashif and more people follow the new one.
And we asked him, what's on the mind of these kids, on these 12 years old, these 12-year-olds, these 14-year-olds? And he explained that one of the things they need are support systems. They need some guidance, even whether they have a single-parent home or a two-parent home. There's still no enough guidance taking place.
They need the right guidance.
And relentless community development is the place to find the guidance. And Kashif, there are people like Carol who called in who will donate maybe time, efforts, and or money to this organization. How do they do that? What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
The best way is by calling me. I answer every phone call. 215-520-1100. Instagram
215-520-1100. 215-520-1100. And you're going to get Kashif on the other end of that line, who's going to spend some time talking to you and figuring out how you can help his organization get kids the guidance they need to stay out of jail and to become productive members of the city of Philadelphia's community.
Is there a base that you operate from?
He's about to give the IG address.
Not right now.
Okay.
We mostly do a lot of things at Feltonville Recreation Center.
Okay.
But you can follow us on Instagram, relentless_CDORG. Relentless_CDORG. Also, if you want to help us help support what we got going on, purchase some products from Modern Language. Modern_Language Philly, or just call me, 215-520-1100.
There you go. I wish you well, Kashif, in all of your projects. I thank you for coming on Court Radio today. I hope we've made a small difference in the trajectory of, the relentless community development. And maybe you can come back with some of the kids who you've made a difference in their lives.
Come back with some of the kids, and I'll bring Judge Lerner with me, too.
Ooh.
All right. Ben Lerner has been a part of your story. He put you in jail.
Yeah.
And he's helped to keep you out and to put you on in a new path afterwards. He's a really great guy.
Yeah, I appreciate him for that. I wish everybody in the city, we can all come together.
Well, in your way, you've helped to do that because this is a positive story, and we hear so much negativity that once in a while, the positive has to outweigh the negative. We started negative by talking about Trump, and I would like to see us get beyond that and to come back together. Maybe for the first time, in a way that we haven't come together in the past. Maybe it's the beginning of a new beginning. So with that, I think we're just about out of time. Folks, if you have a legal issue, why don't you send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. I'd be happy to answer it. I do my best to answer all the emails I get every week.
He does.
And I also would invite you all, every last one of my many Court Radio listeners, to follow me on TikTok, My Philly Lawyer, because there's some great content there that is an inside look into the life of Dean Weitzman and My Philly Lawyer.
What a life it is.
Man, listen. I'm Robin Leach.
I got a boat.
Have you seen the boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen the boat.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Follow me on TikTok. I want to see at least 5 new TikTok followers today from Court Radio listeners. Have a great day, guys, and I'll see you next week. Same time, same place.
Can the boat...